And in the middle of it this morning, I was thinking, you know, if I can weather this morning, I get to be in God's house and feast upon his word tonight. All I got to do is get from here to there. And he's seen me through it. It's wonderful. It is a blessing to be here tonight. Brother Alex, you glad to be here? I missed you last time. Brother Jacob, I know you didn't, but would you open us a word of prayer? Amen. Brother Doug mentioned sole authority. Is there a difference between sole authority and final authority?
Yes.
Brother Jared says yes. Brother Alex? Oh, you don't have to. You're special. You get one right fast.
So, sole authority is the only authority. If you said a final, then there's something else before that. So sole authority is the only, there's not none else.
Excellent. You need to understand this. And when the Bible is silent. Reminds me, I had a client in my office, couple, been married 45 years, and he looked at me and said, you know the secret to our long marriage? We have two rules. My wife makes all the decisions in little things, and I make the decisions in big things. And in 45 years, there hasn't been one big thing come up. That's final authority. The Bible will speak as the final authority in things that are really big, but it never reaches that because the other authorities will handle it and obfuscate it and obscure it. Sole authority, final authority, huge issues to Baptist history. And it flows right down to rightly dividing. Brother Christian, you ready? Okay. Brother Alex, what's the first rule of rightly dividing? Fundamental rule.
No private interpretation.
No private interpretation. What in the world does that mean?
Does it mean something to me and something different to you?
You sure?
Positive. It's inspired word of God.
Okay.
2 Timothy 3:16, 17.
2 Timothy 3.
2 Timothy 3, 16, 17.
Now go ahead and read that for us.
I'll try to quote it. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
So what does that have to do with this of no private interpretation?
God breathed, and it's the sole authority. It's all of God's words. That man doesn't have any man can't interpret what it is or make up something to mean something for us. The Bible says what it says, and it means what it says and says what it means.
Okay. Do you agree with that, Brother Christian? You sure you do?
Yes.
Brother Christian is saying yes. Explain that. Oh, don't worry. We'll stay up with you.
Okay. It being the very word of God, the inspired word of God, Matthew 4, verse 4, that we should live by every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word is not going to lead us somewhere that it shouldn't be, or that we lead us astray, because it's true. It supports and checks itself. Old Testament, the New Testament alike, God is faithful and promised. In all things, God is true, and there's no fault in it. John chapter 3, there's only lightness, or light in God. There's no darkness at all.
Okay. Brother Reagan, do you agree with that? You're good.
I agree with the points that he's making, but I would use a slightly different.
Sound like a politician to you.
I would use a different verse.
What's that?
I would use a different verse.
You'd use a different verse. What verse would you use?
I would use 2 Peter 1:20.
Say what? Who came up with that verse?
God did.
Oh, God did.
Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
No private interpretation. It doesn't mean something to me and something to you differently. It's amazing how the entire world can operate with that in a secular realm. But when it comes to the Word of God, it gets spiritualized and the truth gets vanished. We don't have debate about the color of the walls. You may say it's green, you may say it's red. Truth is, it's off-white. Brother Jared's ruggedly handsome. Not debatable. His wife may disagree. There are certain facts in the world that we agree with, and we don't subject them to private interpretation. We understand that. So much so that we have science and laws of physics. And we don't say, well, gee, Newton's laws of relativity, E equals mc squared, doesn't apply to me. That's not the way I view it. But when it comes to the Bible, all of a sudden it gets mystified. And it means something different to me than it means to you. Also, inherent in that, no private interpretation is, you don't get to pull a verse out of context and use it by itself. It always hangs in context where it's at. That gets into the harmony of the Bible. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Brother Alex, you've got the mic, so when you get there, would you read verses 1 through 6 for us? Yes.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know that the Spirit of God, whether or every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world. You are the God, you are of God, little children, and ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know that the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error.
Okay, thank you. So when something comes up, what are we supposed to do with it?
Try the spirits.
Get our chakras aligned. And I heard on the radio, and I just like, we get exposed to so many things that we don't want to be exposed to. I had the radio on, sports channel, and all of a sudden, they start talking about the lunar eclipse. Happened last night. And how you're not supposed to recharge your crystals during the lunar eclipse. And I went, what? And there's this whole mystic thing out there that people develop and dedicate their lives to. So how do I know if crystals is a healing source that is aligned with the astrology and mysticism? How do I know if that's valid or not?
Try the spirits.
And they got spirits. There's spirits of rocks and trees and everything. So how do you try the spirits?
Buy some crystals.
Buy some crystals. Get a dowsing rod. Get a Ouija board. What?
This is how you try the spirits.
That's how you try the spirits. How do you know that?
It says it in the Word.
What's that?
It says it in the Word.
It says that in the Word?
Yes.
Excellent. Look at verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth. How do you know what the spirit of truth is? John 17:17, thy word is truth. Brother Alex. Excellent. John 17:17, thy word is truth. When verse 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, for they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How do you try the spirits? By taking it to the word of God. But try the spirits where they are of God. If you're of God, it's synonymous with his word. He's not separate from his word. This is not academic. You know, there was an Old Testament prophet. It was a true prophet of God. And he ran into some other prophets of God. And these other prophets of God told him exactly the opposite of what God had told him. And they said, well, God gave it to us, and he went with them and lost his life. And God wasn't kind with them about it. Now, why? He didn't try the spirits, did he? He didn't see if they were according to God. For the Christian. You're good.
Oh, there we go.
Good.
You know, I think about Hebrews 8, chapter 5, he says, who serve... I should wait. Hebrews 8, 5.
Okay, brother.
Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Moses didn't have authority to change anything that God had given him to make or to build. He had to always go back to what God showed him. He couldn't change any of those things. He didn't have that authority. Just like we don't have the authority today to change God's word.
Oh, that's good. Did you hear that? Please hang in there, Brother Christian. You're getting it. You're getting it. Moses didn't have authority to change anything. You only have the ability to do it according to the word. When the temple came to being erected, how much freelancing was Solomon allowed?
Zero.
He had to do it as it was instructed. What in his instructions came from David. And was that David's desire? You know he desired to build a house for God. You read the scriptures, you'll say that the Spirit instructed David. We have an issue called church authority that pops up, and it's amazing, it's rampant in Baptist churches. And who doesn't like to have the rubber stamp of God? I mean, God says you owe me $1,000. Where is it? Church voted for you to give me $1,000. Where is it? That sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? But is it any more ludicrous than saying a harlot can baptize? Is it any more ludicrous to say that the church can vote for a child to baptize? A parent to baptize? If you can change the administrator, why can't you change the mode? Why can't you change salvation? This is what Catholicism did. And Catholicism, in their own writings, will tell you, in case of an emergency, an individual is drowning in the ocean, you may administer baptism by a non-priest. Why not? Because for many years they had novation as a stellar example, as an exception to baptism. Catholics did not. There was no debate in the early church about how to do baptism. That's why there's not one chapter, one verse in the Bible that says, this is how you do baptism to thwart all the others doing it wrong. We have a whole lot of discussion about salvation is not by circumcision, because that was the issue. That pops up in Acts chapter 15. It pops up through the entire book of Galatians. But there's no big debate about baptism, because baptism was baptizo. It meant to dunk. Anybody remember Dunkin' Donuts? You used to work there? That meant you sprinkled. No, you put donuts into the coffee. You submerge them. It was not an issue. Didn't become an issue till 50 years after the exception. What was the exception? A man named Novation was dying. Couldn't get baptized. Terrible. And the Catholic Church decided, there's one exception. What if we just poured water over his bed? Just more or less immersed him in water by pouring it on him. And went, well, you know, it's a sad thing for the guy to die and he can't get to church. He can't do it. It'd be a sad thing. We'll do that. That was an exception that lasted 50 years. 50 years later, they go, you know, we did this once, and it was really pouring. Remember, it's of no private interpretation. It doesn't mean something to you, something to somebody else. It doesn't mean that it's the final authority, that you can monkey around with it. Amazingly, how silent the Bible gets when you follow final authority. Brother Jerry.
Well, the problem is with that. You change one thing, you're going to throw off everything else that's in the Bible. You look at Moses, God told him, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Because even if he was off on just a little bit of a height, little bit of a width, little bit of one piece, it would throw the whole thing off. You change one little bit of the Bible, it's going to throw everything off because it's all flows together. There's a reason why it's the way we have it. And if you change one thing, whether it be baptism, salvation, you're going to throw everything else off and might as well just get rid of the whole thing and make up your own rules.
Exactly right. And maybe that will begin to give you some insight into why God was so strict on Moses for striking the rock and still speaking to it. Because it throws off the picture. It throws off the pattern. It throws it all off. It's not subject to your interpretation. It's not subject to my interpretation. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Brother Jared, what do we mean when we say the Bible's harmonious?
It's without contradiction.
How is it possible the Bible can be without contradiction?
Because God cannot lie, and it is the very word of God.
Excellent. The Bible is without contradiction. Because it is the very word of God. I am so amazed that these people that hold to the ideation theory, the superintendence theory, will freely read verses that say, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by every... What's that? I just lost it. Oh, thank you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every thought that the writers put down. What does that verse say? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how you're supposed to live. Not how he superintended and kept you from error, but you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Don't humanize it. Don't make it give you a private interpretation. You're trying to humanize it and rationalize how in the world does Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why does Paul say, I speak by permission? Really, let me give you the clue to that. I had a client many years ago, I shared this story with you already. We had a case and a vehicle accident case, and I asked him, have you ever been involved in another accident? And he said, yes, I killed a man. I ran over him. Excuse me? I ran over a guy. I killed him. I hit him with my car. Now, that doesn't sound real good for my case, does it? What happened? It was late one night, dark. He stepped out in front of me. I didn't have a chance. He committed suicide. He stepped in front of my car. You didn't kill him, did you? What? The guilt he felt. So he identified it. I killed him. No, you didn't kill him. He killed himself. So if this comes up, This is what you say. Have you ever been involved in another accident? Yes. An individual committed suicide by stepping in front of my car. Those were my words coming out of his mouth. Now, if little old me can put words in somebody else's mouth, why can't God put his words in anybody's mouth? Paul says, I speak by permission. Why couldn't God say, Paul, say, I speak by permission? It's harmonious without contradiction. Why is it without contradiction? Because it is indeed the very word of God. The very word of God. It is the very word of God. Hammer this, nail it down, because if you don't get this, you're going to get tripped up. And you're going to rationalize and humanize it, and you're going to think you're rightly divided. And you're not. You're humanizing and rationalizing. And I've heard a lot of that in our classes, when we think you're rightly dividing, and all you're doing is humanizing and rationalizing. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Who's got the mic? Okay. Brother Jex, you got the mic? Read verses 23 to 33.
The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh, and last of all the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine.
Thank you very much. So the Sadducees come to Jesus with his ironclad gotcha scenario. Because the Sadducees, why were the Sadducees Sadducees? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And how can you always remember that? Because that's why they were sad, you see. Keep it. It'll keep you straight on that. So they come to Jesus going, aha, we got you trapped. We got this story, this scenario, where a guy died without having issue, children, and the law required his brother to step in and raise up children in his name. And we'll take it out to seven brothers. We'll just really nail this thing down. And they come to Jesus with that scenario. And they ask him, aha, now whose wife is she? What were they doing with the scriptures? Privately interpreting, rationalizing and humanizing them, using humanistic logic. And what was Jesus' response? Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. They were focused on a human. They were so far off. They're focused on the little playground down here on earth where husbands and wives exist. Oh, by the way, this is going to make Sister Brittany very happy. How long are you obligated to be married to your husband? Are you obligated to be married to your husband? Not forever? Can you get a mic to her? So say that again. How long are you obligated to your husband?
Until I die or he dies.
Why are you grinning so big? Because the Mormons have sealed
the resurrection.
What's that?
She believes in the resurrection.
She believes in the resurrection, that there's a better hope, that there's a sweet release of death coming. The Sadducees were focused on this world, erring, thinking that the afterlife was identical. They didn't even know the scriptures. How many of the angels are married? Wrong. How many angels are married?
Were or are?
Were.
There's a few that.
Okay.
Against the six, but they're not around anymore.
Oh, they're still around.
All in angels.
Get a mic. Okay, Brother Jared. How many angels were married?
I don't know a number, but there were some in Genesis 6 that were married.
Okay.
They're no longer married because...
And were they in heaven?
No, they were on earth.
They were on earth.
They left their first estate.
They left their first estate.
They're not married anymore, though.
They're not. How come?
Because they're in chains of darkness, and their wives are probably dead in hell, too. So, you know, till death do you part. They're departed now. And no angels since then that we know of have ever gotten married or will ever get married. Except for that one instance when they walked away from God's order and left
and
their first estate.
There's no angels in heaven married.
Correct.
So these Sadducees had this wonderful scenario written up in their humanistic rationalization, and it was not based in the scriptures. Because it's of no private interpretation, it is harmonious. And the first thing Jesus says to him is, you guys err not knowing the scriptures. Because if they would have took that wonderful scenario and ran it into the scriptures, they would have went, this don't work, guys. This doesn't work. There is a resurrection. How long had resurrection been known? Was that a New Testament issue? Was the resurrection ever known in the Old Testament? Enoch talked about it. He talked about the return of 10,000, Jesus returning to 10,000 of his saints. David prophesied it in Psalms. How about Job? Supposedly the oldest book in the Bible. What's that? Oh, Brother Christian wants a mic. He's going to say something really good.
Thank you.
Oh, this one's different than the other. Okay. Well, Job 19 says, though, verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this flesh, or this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Now, what would have happened to the Sadducees, if they'd begin to harmonize the scriptures and chase it down, they would have discovered that this great scenario of theirs doesn't hold water because it's of no private interpretation. The Bible is harmonious, it's without contradiction. See, they had built a contradiction. Seven husbands, which one does she get in the afterlife? They had built a contradiction that they thought was tripping Jesus up. And he says, you guys don't know the scriptures, nor the power of God. And then in verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Have you not looked at the scriptures? Saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. We see that repeatedly. That is a common phrase to the nation of Israel. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's a common phrase. What does that mean? That is always present tense, never past tense. What does that mean? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Abraham lives. Remember the rich man died, went to hell? Has a conversation with who? Abraham. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Astonished at his doctrine. Because he's using the Old Testament to establish these Sadducees don't understand the resurrection. That mere phrase that is so well known to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. Abraham's not dead. Isaac's not dead. And this whole faux-roll make-believe business about whose husband is just that. It's an error. And we'll pick up with that in the morning, but before we dismiss, I want to bring you back up to speed on the happenings in the world. Israel has not remained quiet since we last met. Yesterday, they bombed Damascus and 40 other targets. Surprisingly, Israel has also poured reinforcement troops to the border of Jordan. Jordan's at peace with Israel. However, the book of Amos chapter 1 says that he's going to punish Ammon, Jordan, for what she does in Gilead. Gilead is on the east side of the river Jordan. And that is the area that Israel has put troops into. Just interesting. Also happening in Syria, there has been some mass exterminations from the Syrian government of minorities and mass burial sites discovered. And these minorities are appealing to Israel for help. They're also appealing to Russia for help. Wouldn't you? If you're being slaughtered, would you care who helped you if you just got help? You'll sort it out later, but right now we need somebody to get these people off our necks. They're killing us. Well, Ezekiel 38 says, hooks and pull them out. Hooks and pull them out. Just another hook. Russia's lost a lot of its military bases. It's two primary military bases in the old Mediterranean they've lost. They now have small military sites. But there she remains. Oh, and by the way, Tuesday, Israel, for the first time, took journalists to a military outpost, to a place that you might be well familiar with, that is not in the nation of Israel, but is in the nation of Syria. Mount Hermon. Israel has seized Mount Hermon. It's got two military bases on Mount Hermon now. That was Assad's military bases. And I don't think Israel will be giving those back. Israel has already said that we're going to be staying indefinitely. So while we have classes and we have our daily lives, what does Matthew chapter 24 tell us?
The signs of his coming.
Signs of his coming. Two will be in the field. What's that? Yeah, one shall be taken, the other left. So as we live our daily lives and do our daily things, just understand there's going to come a day where you're going to hear a trumpet. And it's all going to change. But he gave you the word so it wouldn't come to you as a thief in the night. It wouldn't overtake you, surprisingly. Look at the signs of the times. Just stand and ask a blessing on the refreshments. And oh, by the way, we have desserts to be purchased for the benefit of the Toledo building program. So in addition to your wonderful refreshments, there are some others to be purchased and offerings to be made. With that in mind, Brother Tierce, would you voice that blessing for us?